many of the types of metadata that we register in metadata repositories are already found in various pockets around in the organization already. This is an empirical fact.
Hello and welcome to the Data Culture Podcast. I'm Carsten Bange, founder CEO of Bark, and my guest today is Ole Olesen. He has been with us before talking about data catalogs, and now his new book is out on metadata management. We will talk about the importance of metadata management and the big problems that he sees in enterprises. Ole is calling for a group, a so-called data discovery team, that is coordinating metadata management and metadata efforts across an enterprise to unlock benefits in terms of innovation, operation, and regulation. For him, that's a key fundamental also for data centralization and overall to unlock value from data. Enjoy the episode. Ole, great to have you back on the podcast. And the reason is very simple, but very good. You have a new book out. It's called The Fundamentals of Metadata Management. Let me ask you the fundamental question first. Why this book?
Oh, big question. Thank you for having me, Carsten. Why this book? This book is a very old idea, in fact, in the sense that I've been encountering the same problem throughout my career, actually. When I left university, I went into industry. But basically, we list the same kind of metadata in a lot of different kind of tools. And that's a big problem. It's a very big problem for companies, for organizations at large. I discovered as a young man out of university, just out of university, and like, you know, when you're young and you can be a bit naive, you imagine that in corporations, things are streamlined, things are under control, everyone knows where everything is. And so for me, it was a big surprise to discover very specifically an enormous, like an endless list of IT systems in this first company I was hired at, and that no one knew anything about these systems, or more precisely, no one knew if anyone knew about these systems. And so we just had this enormous list of IT systems, and no one really knew what they did or if they worked, but we kept paying all the software vendors. And so as I progressed through my career, I just saw that problem in every single company I was in. And I thought a lot about that. And basically, that's like the root cause of why I wanted to write this book, Fundamentals of Metadata Management, because I see so many different kinds of systems listing the same type of metadata for a lot of different reasons. So in short, that's why I wanted to write the book. I suggested it to Aureli, but when you propose a second book, it's not any easier than the first one. Obviously, they know you can write a book, but the topic needs to be precisely described. It needs to be like, there needs to be an audience. It needs to have relevance, all of that. So, but they accepted the book. They accepted the book, and it's a book that, like, has been getting a lot of readers pretty much all over the world. I'm very thankful for that.
Oh, super! Yeah, I mean, we discussed your ideas around the data catalog a while back in the first podcast we did together, and you also shared that you are a trained librarian, which also obviously then had a very interesting viewpoints and insights on the topic of data cataloging. Would it be fair to say that the metadata, the fundamentals of metadata management, takes now a broader approach to metadata? So not only the data catalog, but basically beyond the data catalog?
Absolutely. It speaks to a bigger reality. And that reality consists of a of a very long set of technologies that all operate at the metadata layer. So they do not execute the value chain, these technologies, in any way.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least not the metadata repositories in the technologies I discuss. They merely list elements from the IT landscape in a company. But yes, it speaks to a bigger reality. It speaks to a reality where metadata repositories have various kinds of drivers, various kinds of structures, and that really shapes the kind of metadata they contain. They can be located in various parts of the organization too. So that's basically metadata repositories as I see them.
Can you give us a few examples just to make it a bit more concrete? And what are the main ones do you see in organizations?
Well, if you're like all companies, organizations are different, right? And so every organization has an endpoint management system. It can also list servers, but the kind of metadata that is listed in these systems are typically client applications, employee numbers, metadata for employees, and so forth. And so obviously the system itself carries out a function in the company, but the metadata, like the metadata element itself, that is simply a repository that sits there together with the technology. So the endpoint management system will typically be capable of installing client applications on it, for example, a laptop or phone. Like if you need an enterprise application, you can get it through that kind of system, right? But the metadata in the system, that just sits there. That's the metadata repository. So that's one example. Another example would be a data processing or data protection registry that is maintained by a data protection officer. It first appeared in the European Union, but we are seeing similar legislations popping up all over the world. So GDPR went into effect, I think, 2018, right? And after that year, you saw California joining, other states in the US joining. Many countries around the world now have similar legislations. And a data protection officer really needs a data protection or data processing registry to register where data is being processed and with what purpose. And that's a metadata repository. Two, it contains a lot of metadata.
Makes sense. What drives the topic? I mean, we discussed data catalogs. That surely has been a very hot topic. I see many, many organizations that already have implemented one. And I think it became so popular that it seems to be now becoming more a feature of data platforms, for example, or any type of data intelligence solutions than actually being a thing itself. Let's put it that way. So that concept has, I think, gained a good momentum. Now I have a lot of conversations around context for AI agents, which is also a metadata topic. So what do you see are the big drivers of the topic? Why is it relevant for organizations?
There are many drivers. There are not only one, but I divide them into three. Innovation, regulation, and operation. So take innovation first. You have a lot of metadata repositories, in particular the data catalog, that really is about innovation. Like I see the main driver. Like it can serve more purposes than one, but one of the strong drivers for implementing a data catalog is to make data discoverable for data scientists and AI engineers, so that they can push forward with innovative use cases for the company, the organization, right? That's very, very important. So that, I would say, is an innovation driver for a metadata repository. If we go into the operations side of things, then that circle back to the endpoint management system. You need companies to be able to provide laptops and phones to their employees. You need companies to be able to identify their servers wherever they are located in the world and however they are connected to each other with the cable and satellite infrastructure, right? So you need to be able to do that, to operate, quite simply. So a driver for metadata repositories can also be that. And finally, regulation. In this space, we see CSR, we see GDPR, information security, right? To not corporate social responsibility, data protection and data privacy, and information security. Many of such regulations push particular types of technologies that then contain metadata.
Mm-hmm.
And so these drivers, they come in waves. We have waves of regulation. We have waves of operation, of doing things in new ways. We have waves of innovation with newer kinds of data catalogs and adjacent technologies that propose to push data to consumers faster, better, in a simpler way, and so forth, right? So these drivers, they come in waves.
All right. In this podcast, there's a lot of discussion, obviously, around AI and its influence, and for sure, it's an innovation driver. And I also see that data catalogs can be super helpful for AI engineers. It's a regulation topic. We had many episodes around, for example, the EU AI Act. Is it also an operational topic, or what's the driver on that side? I like your segmentation in these three areas. I think that's helpful. I'm just not super aware of the operational side of things. So maybe you can educate us what's happening there.
You want your staff to be educated. You want them to be updated and trained on the processes that they need to carry out in terms of some kind of regulation. So typically, larger organizations, they have a learning management system. Mm-hmm. In that system, you can document what employees have learned and how they carry out tasks. So in that system sits a smaller system, the metadata repository, so the metadata structure that defines the types of employees that needs the certain amount of training to carry out specific kinds of processes. All that is metadata.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could have a configuration management database, which is really the heavy machinery of real enterprise information technology. This is not perhaps considered a very sexy topic, at least not for everyone, unless you are very much into CMDBs. Mm-hmm. But a CMDB is basically a list of like configuration items, CIs, that lists the current configurations of applications, what kind of data they hold, what kind of integrations they have, and that I dare say is an operational system more than anything else. It can be used for regulation if you want to, but that would be pushing the core capability a little outside of what it's usually doing. And it can be used for innovation, which I would consider a hack. That's not a good idea, but you can definitely use it if you really want to do that, you can.
Mm-hmm.
I just wouldn't recommend it. Another, perhaps more strategic component for operation would be the enterprise architecture management tool, which is really about defining the future IT landscape of the company.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many listeners you have in the US, but in the US, enterprise architecture has a more negative connotation than here in Europe.
Do you know why?
Yes, I think I know why. Because enterprise architecture is typically performed in a very poor way.
Mm-hmm.
It's performed via frameworks, very theoretical constructs that have little to do with reality.
Mm-hmm.
That is often not very helpful for the companies that have hired very expensive enterprise architects.
Yeah. Okay.
So I've practiced enterprise architecture myself, but from an empirical point of view, meaning that there's no framework, there's no theory. We study what people do. Anyway, it's a different way of performing enterprise architecture that mm-hmm. is way more pragmatic and rooted mm-hmm. in technology and strategy. But basically, enterprise architecture exists as technologies also. It's kind of a calculator, if you will. It tries to define the consequences of various future perspectives. So if you want to migrate off certain platforms, what are the integrations that are hit? What are the value chain consequences? What can't be delivered? What will need to be updated? Which systems can be outphased? What else? What kind of software would we need to purchase? Mm-hmm. These kind of like future perspectives is really at the core of an enterprise architecture management system. And such a system would also be characterized, at least as I see it, as something that is highly strategical, but it's still operational. It's not innovative. You're not using this kind of system to drive growth. Uh-huh. If anything, you're using it to drive down cost of the IT landscape.
Hi, everyone. I wanted to let you know about a virtual event I will be attending. It's the SAP Innovation Talk for Platform Data and AI on February 5th. This whole event is designed to be a strategic technology outlook and an event preview for 2026, specifically for the SAP ecosystem. And you can learn around latest technology like BTP, Business Data Fabric or Business Data Cloud, also hear customer perspectives and obviously event announcements. My session will be targeting the topic of data products and their role in connecting applications, data and AI. So I think it's a great kickoff for 2026. And if you want more information, just check out the link in the show notes or search for SAP Innovation Talk for Platform Data and AI on February 5th. Hope to see you there. Now, you argue in the book that all these metadata repositories should be coordinated by a data discovery team. So my first question would be, why not just leave them where they are? I mean, that obviously has been the case for a long time. Why do you think there is a need for coordination?
I think there is a need for coordination because of my gut feeling as a young man. It's not that long time ago, but it's beginning to be a little long ago, right? But it's this feeling that, you know, the good old Einstein quote that the definition of insanity is repeating the same thing over and over and expecting a different result every time, right? That's a little bit how metadata management is often performed in companies. You see the rise of a new regulation, say GDPR, and then you map all the data in your company so that you can evaluate the processing of the data. So that the data protection officer can report to the authorities that we are in compliance. But the problem is that that kind of data has already been registered. Mm-hmm. It would typically sit in CMDB. It would sit in various spreadsheets. It could sit in an early generation of a data catalog if we're talking 2016, 2017 in preparation for GDPR. So metadata management needs to be coordinated by what I call a data discovery team, because many of the types of metadata that we register in metadata repositories are already found in various pockets around in the organization already. This is an empirical fact. I'm not making this up. No. This is not a point of view. It's not an argument. It's not a discussion. This is just empirical fact. I'm listing facts here. I know this is right. And I have been, this has been confirmed by Fortune 100 banks, mm-hmm. pharma companies, whatever. Mm-hmm. Many, many people reached out while I was writing the book saying, spot on. Because this is how it really is, right? It's not up for discussion. But the problem is, it's not how we implement technologies. It's not how we work with technologies. Mm. We start with a whiteboard every single time. And we should be looking in drawers. We should be exploring folders. We should be looking into the existing technologies that is already there, because they contain typically the metadata structures and the types of data in the company already. And that's the idea of the data discovery team. Mm. So imagine this. I spoke at length with the founders of Team Topologies about this, actually. Manuel Pais, that wrote the Team Topologies book, he was so kind to reach out. I reached out to him. But he was so kind to spend some time with me and really review my ideas, also together with a very splendid architect called Eduardo da Silva. Mm-hmm. He's very close. He's worked very closely with Manuel Pais. They built Boyo.com, the biggest. It's like Amazon in Benelux. And so anyway, they reviewed my ideas, and so I inscribed the data discoverer team in a team topology, meaning that. So let's take out all the team topology jargon, because I think maybe your listeners will be lost in that. But basically what I suggest is that someone working with the various metadata repositories in the company should meet in a virtual group and discuss overlaps. So imagine that someone from the data protection officer's office is meeting with the CMDB people. Is meeting with the enterprise architect people, is meeting with the data governance people, is meeting with the information security officer people, uh-huh. and simply discuss similarities and overlaps in their various technologies. The idea of the data discovery team is not to replace all the existing technologies. They all carry out a purpose. They are needed. But the metadata they contain is something that could solidify all of the tools collectively if they coordinate. So it doesn't cost a lot. It would be internal employees carrying out this task, and it would increase the solidity of each metadata repository. It would decrease the cost of implementing them. Uh-huh. It would increase their performance, because you would not have what I call single view of the world monoliths. Again, this is from Team Topologies, and every metadata repository tends to become a monolith, not in terms of size, but in terms of scope. Like, they describe the metadata of the company in a particular way, and as long as they are in their bubble, they think it's the reality. But confronted with other metadata repositories that work in different ways and that serve different purposes, they clash, because these metadata repositories are not aligned. That's a very costly thing, and it's a very unfortunate thing. And here's actually a problem in data that's quite easy to solve. This is quite, like, it's not super difficult to solve, actually.
Okay. This data discovery team, where would you position that? Is it part of the data office, if you have a CDO, for example, or part of any other, like a competence center? How would you see that?
Well, I would prefer it being a pure team topology structure, meaning that it's not a real team. There is no boss, there are no employees, there are no one-to-ones going on. It's a virtual team. Obviously, in a lot of companies, metadata is highly political, so it would be difficult to execute. But my recommendation is that it's not a team as such. Would it be a team? Then, yeah, perhaps the chief data officer would be a good good leader of this team. I think the chief data officer or a chief information and chief information officer, someone running the IT landscape, the IT department of the company, that I think would be a natural fit. But I would love for it to just be a virtual team.
Yeah. You introduced a new idea called the meta grid. So that's, from my understanding, how to connect all these repositories. Please explain more. What's that, the meta grid?
Yes, I was very much in doubt whether or not I should come up with a term for the idea that I had, because I'm looking at data mesh and I'm thinking, what a pity that we are discussing a word instead of the idea itself. You can be for or against data decentralization. Why are we discussing a word? And so I've been back and forth whether or not I should use a word, but I introduced the idea of the metagrid, and it kind of, like, a lot of people responded. So we went along with the word for the book and put it in the subtitle also. I was very much in doubt about this, Carsten, to be honest.
Okay. But before we discuss that, what is it?
Yes, let's go. Let's take things in the right order. You're right. So the metagrid is really the metadata itself. It's not a technology. It's not even, it is perhaps an integration architecture, if you will. Mm-hmm. But it can be even more low-key than that. It's the simple idea of saying, okay, let's consider a business processes as metadata. And then let's agree that these business processes, they are mapped in a business process mapping tool for financial auditing. They are mapped in data catalogs for data lineage. They are mapped in the data protection officer's registry to be able to report for data processing. So we have the same type of metadata expressed slightly different across various metadata repositories. And if we join forces, we will do this better. Mm-hmm. And that's the metagrid. It's a mapping of the technologies, of the types of metadata, and the way these relate, where it's created, where it's updated, where it's deleted. It's basically a set of diagrams. It can be a little bit of JSON or YAML or whatever you want, if you want some code snippets to express how you would integrate this and manage it from a machine-readable format. It's a description with an architecture decision record stating how this metadata is managed across the various teams that works with it. That's the metagrid. And you can do that for their processes, you can do that, or business processes, you can do that for applications. Consider applications. Applications will be listed in the endpoint management system, in the information security management system, and so on and so on and so on. So the metagrid is really it's really documentation, basically. It's basically documentation. And it's like, and the more you build it, and the more you leverage it in the various technologies, the more resilient this architecture becomes. This is not about scaling something. It's not about monetizing something. It's about making the technologies and companies stronger.
Mm. You mentioned data decentralization, but it sounds more like a better coordination of decentralized data. And that is... So how does that relate now? I think it's really more something that I would coordinate, across more decentralized data, which we have, not only in usage data, but obviously also in metadata. Would that be a fair view?
I like it. Thank you. It's a very detailed question, and I am thankful for that, Carsten. I talk about decentralization, and it's perhaps one of the more academic points of the book. The reason why I talk about decentralization and not simply coordination is because many metadata repositories tend to fall into this trap that I mentioned before of the single view of the world. We have to accept the opposite of the single source of truth in metadata management. We have to accept that data is located in multiple repositories. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I perhaps a bit provocative talk about data decentralization, because we cannot and we will never in real companies and organizations achieve a reality where we have one single source of truth for metadata. It does not exist. And it's counterproductive in terms of what you want to use metadata repositories for. For example, the data catalog. Mm-hmm. It should fuel innovation. it should not be the tool for everything in a company. It should fuel innovation.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Now, it's especially around data cataloging, there's a long ongoing debate that exchange of metadata or making sense of metadata in different repositories would be way easier if we would have a standard, right? If we would have a standard way to describe it. And there were many initiatives over the last 25 years I'm following this topic, and all failed. Yeah? Because in the end, it's not really in the interest of a vendor to follow a standard. Often it's not in your interest. I want to get your take on that topic, especially with the new initiative that's now obviously a big debate. From my point of view, that's the Open Semantic Interchange Initiative. Yeah, so started by Snowflake, we saw that many now, especially data catalog vendors, for example, jumped on it, which makes sense. Yeah, for them, it makes a lot of sense to be interoperable. But who's missing are obviously the big ones, the hyperscalers. Yeah, and I think a chance for a standard can only have a chance if the biggest vendors actually follow them, which I don't see really happening right now. So what's your take on that? Do we need it? Is there any chance of achieving it at some point? What do you think about that?
I could say a lot here, but I think this particular standard that you mentioned, I never believe that will succeed. Mm-hmm. Because it's driven by vendors. Like, that's it. I don't believe in it. Mm-hmm. For my own sake, we are very active in Acton in the BITL committee for data products and data contracts, which is not a vendor driven organization. It's a real open standards body financed by the Linux Foundation. So that I believe in. Mm-hmm. But in general, I am a standards skeptic. It's not because I don't like the purposes of the standards. It's my many years in real industry that has made me a skeptic.
Yeah. Will AI make things better? For example, with easier mapping of metadata across systems?
I argue that AI will make metadata management substantially more difficult.
Okay, now that you need to explain.
Well, it's all very theoretical still, right? We're seeing good results with the AI experiments we are conducting in our company with MCP, NATO-A, like we're seeing really, really good results. So in general, I think AI is a very interesting thing, especially for the enterprise. Mm-hmm. I'm a little more concerned from the society at large, but for the enterprise, I think it's really, really interesting. Specifically, if you consider the possibility of creating software, like that would be the opposite as software as a service. It would be service as software. So you need to like take a step back and perhaps let me say it again. So instead of software as a service, we have service as software, meaning that we can spin up applications on the fly when we need them and put them to sleep again when we don't need them anymore. I think we are looking into an explosion of enterprise applications in the near future. So you can say that I consider it's way more difficult. We talk about the multiplication of data, that it multiplies every second year, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But what I see is far more challenging is the amount of applications that we use to generate and manipulate and consume all this data. And that number was also increasing if you look from the very first on-premise systems back in the 50s and 60s. And then throughout the decade with the technological evolution, you just see more and more IT systems coming into the enterprise. And I think that with AI, the number of applications will just explode. Mm-hmm. And that will make metadata management very complicated.
Yeah. But will it? Yeah, okay, I agree. But on the other hand, yeah, I do see a lot of applications of AI in data management, and it really seems like they make life easier in terms of modeling data, of mapping different models, which is all the problems you have. Yeah, if you try to coordinate this now and come to common metadata that's better aligned and so on. So I would also see the other trend, that maybe things get a little bit easier.
Absolutely. I think like every single task in data management, data engineering is about to get augmented, and it's already being augmented, right? Yep. And that is only nice. That there's nothing bad to say about that. Except for the fact that certain people feel a bit of fear in terms of their job potentially going away. And I think we should all be very respectful of that fear. But in terms of how you carry out the tasks, both at the data engineering level and at the metadata management level, sure, I completely agree. That will get more and more easy, more and more smooth, and we're looking into a very nice future there.
Yeah, absolutely. Ole, thanks so much. I think we got a great overview on the state of metadata management, also your ideas to better coordinate that, to bring it together, and the value that would bring for innovation, operation, and regulation in an organization. Final question. If there's one thing I should do to improve the metadata management in my organization, what would that be?
Create a list of the metadata repositories that already exists. Mm-hmm. Try to coordinate them.
Excellent. Ole, thanks so much again. All the best to you. I'm sure I see you again very soon. Until then, take care.
Thank you, Carsten.